Saturday, December the 23rd. I awoke very late, after 10, to discover it had snowed last night. A light, thin snow. But this is the final perfect touch to our first Christmas in the White House. And it already feels like Christmas. It's Saturday, and everybody is ready to quit work and start celebrating. I worked on Lyndon's Christmas album and at my desk signed the last Christmas pictures, dictated with Marilyn. At 11:45, Lyndon called. He was in Rome. He'd be home in the early morning of Christmas Eve. After a week of parties, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, today is my day. An open house at 5 o'clock this afternoon for eggnog and Auld Lang Syne and to see the Christmas decorations. In the afternoon, I went shopping with Linda, said hello to C.P. Little and his family in the diplomatic reception room. They'd come over to see the house all dressed up for Christmas. And then, at 5, the fire was burning in the yellow room. Our own Christmas tree was lovely, with icicles and cookies like the big tree downstairs. Cute little stuffed animals made by Mrs. McAllister, whose husband had performed the wedding ceremony. And at the top, the big star that had been used by FDR on the White House Christmas tree in the East Room, and later on by the Trumans, and then somehow relegated to the attic. I think the carpenter had been real pleased when he explained to me its history. We're starting some traditions of our own. The bright red balls were used as decorations in Linda's wedding. We'll save them for other Christmases, here, at the ranch, wherever we are. This party was very special to me. I'd invited old friends and their families. Tom Corcoran and all his children, and he brought 4. Margaret Josephine, Timmy, Howie, and one other. Jim and Libby Rowe, and their cute red-haired daughter, Clarissa, and her husband, and young Jim. Elspeth Rostow and her 85-year-old mother. In fact, the guests ranged from 85 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. Patrick brought in little Lynn to be passed from hand to hand. He regarded us rather soberly like a judge, and Lucy came in late. And there were Abe and Carol Fortas, and Carol's mother, frail but lively, and their cook, Mary Ann, firing a Christmas gift of some of her delicious macaroons. And Kay Graham, with one son, she explained on the phone that he had long hair, really long hair, as though I would mind. My feeling for her is a mixture of admiration and sympathy. She's grown in poise, in the exercise of power, in her freedom with dealing with people. She's a more interesting woman than she was. She's also a rather sad woman, I think, because she must be pulled at so many ways. Diana and Donald were very helpful. Little Lisa looking quite grown up and pretty. And Alex actually taking over one of the musical instruments and playing with the little group of the Marine Band that I had in the hall doing Christmas carols. And little Bill and Jeannie Deason, the very grown-up and attractive Diane. That's the joy of this party. I'm getting to see everybody's children. And young Patrick Lyndon, whom I introduced to the other Patrick Lyndon. The Jack Heights came with their twins, Anne and Jane. And Mary V. Busby. Horace is gone with Lyndon. And their 3 handsome children. And Juanita Roberts with her mother. No guests more appreciative of having a better time. The handsome Clark Cliffords, their children and grandchildren had come earlier in the week. Katie and Walter Lockheim brought both children and grandchildren. Paul Sittons and 2 good-looking young teenagers, Deirdre and Cotton Colson. Leonard and Dorothy Marks were there with their 2 tall sons, and Leonard and I talked about an agenda for a January meeting of the Audiovisual Committee of the Library. Willie Day Taylor came. I had tried to remember our very special friends who no longer had family around. Mildred, however, had left for Texas just a few hours before. Bob Kettner arrived wearing dark, heavy glasses, Jean, vibrant and slim, and 2 cute sons, Michael and Jeff. Liz and Les brought their new daughter-in-law and Scott, and Christy, who obviously is very much in love with college. And Mary Bundy, whose husband is also with Lyndon, came with their 2 children. Linda and Chuck were in and out. We had traditional eggnog and fruitcake, and the best hot hors d'oeuvres the White House affords. And the Marine Band played all the Christmas carols over and over. Out the window we saw the nation's Christmas tree, and in the distance, the Jefferson Memorial and the Washington Monument. And inside, all was bright and gay, the most Christmassy party you could ever want, except for Lyndon's not being there. It was a sort of a special bond between me and those women whose husbands were going through this tour de force with Lyndon. Mary Bundy, Elspeth Rostow, Mary V. Busby. At one point, Elspeth Rostow spoke of her husband and his regard for Lyndon in a manner unusual for one of her reserve and dignity. It was something like this. Walt thinks so much of your husband. I don't quite know whether he considers him his father or his son. I was too touched to answer. People drifted off downstairs carrying their eggnog to look at the creche or the White House own Christmas tree in the blue room. And Jim Rowe and Tom Corcoran were especially pleased when I told them that the star at the top of the tree had been used by FDR. But it was a time when everybody has their own plans. So by 7 o'clock, people were going. Very shortly thereafter, I discovered that Ashton and Marilyn were still working. I herded them away. Lucy had asked the Leroy Bates to stay for dinner. And the seven of us, Linda and Chuck, had a pleasant dinner in the family dining room. Leroy is learning to fly one of those extraordinarily fast planes, something like 1,200 miles an hour. And Melinda is in her last year of nursing school, which requires that she live away from him. This is only their second year of marriage. Rough, but it will be life insurance for always getting a job. And they seem very purposeful young people. I told Linda and Lucy privately that Daddy would be arriving around 4:30 and they might want to get up and meet him. And then I read myself to sleep fairly early, very contented. It had been an extraordinary week, and except for Lyndon's absence on this killing, grueling trip, it had been what I wanted. Christmas in the White House with all the trimmings, shared with as many people as the house would hold.